307-DGS. We had a, just talking to my boss, Steve Moore, a moment ago, and he was talking about how we had one day where, like, almost 1,000 people downloaded the Odyssey app. Why? Because opening day is coming up on Thursday. So let me make a play for you to do that again. We would love for you to download the Odyssey app to listen to the DGS. Hopefully you will. But if you, I mean, like, Cardinal baseball compares to nothing. Nothing compares to Cardinal baseball in St. Louis. It just does not. The Cume goes crazy. The number of people listening go crazy. And we all depend on it for various reasons. But if you are listening on 11:20 a.m. I get the nostalgia of it because it sounds exactly like it did in 1974 when I was listening with my dad as he was burning chicken on the grill. But if you download the Odyssey app, it is absolutely digital perfection, and it is so much more pleasant to listen to Cardinals baseball games. So all you have to do is just go to your app store on your phone or your iPad and find Odyssey app. It's easy. Download it. It is not difficult. And not only do you have KMOX and Cardinals baseball, but you have thousands and thousands and thousands of podcasts and radio stations and Fox News and CNN and the whole bit. Then cost you nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
It's a good deal.
Free, it's me.
I made two gentlemen hate me today.
Oh.
Yeah. It was deserved. So I didn't sleep great last night, and we have the 22nd floor here at our building.
Mm-hmm.
And the 22nd floor, the building's like fine, but the 22nd floor kicks ass. It is like very retro. I think it's where the Pacific Union used to have their offices. It's all wood and brass and green lanterns and stuff
nice
like
couches.
That.
Nice couches.
The foosball table.
Foosball table. And I was complaining, and Andrew goes, oh, you should go up the 22nd floor. Just relax a little bit. So here I go with nothing but my phone to watch TikTok and try to take a little nap on the couch. And I get on the elevator with these two guys who have a washer dryer.
Uh-oh.
That they're taking to an apartment, and they're like holding it up and, you know, just that kind of thing. And as they get off the elevator, I say, take it easy, boys.
Oh.
I know. I know. And they're just grunted at me like, yeah, you have a good time watching TikTok on the couch up
you
there.
You had a dad moment.
Sure did.
Every once in a while, you get one of those. I don't think you can stop it. I think it just
happens.
Force of nature.
So I heard a pretty smart person say today on one of the morning shows that everyone in the media waves a hand at being objective. Most people in the media really try to be objective. And her point was, no one can be objective. And she was saying, look, it's not all Donald Trump. He's not, you know, the end-all be-all of everything. But since he came along, you can't just say you're objective because you can't be objective. Am I making any sense at all? Does that hit you in tune or out of tune? Because I like to think of us as being objective, at least fair. But here's an example. On the news an hour ago, we reported that Donald Trump had said that the way that his bond is working is the opposite of the way it works under the law. That the law is that you appeal and then you pay a bond, but because they're coming after him, they're doing it the opposite. That is an absolute falsehood. That's an absolutely untrue statement. The law has never been like that. He is simply lying about it. Or wrong. If you give him a benefit of the doubt, he's wrong.
Right.
If you don't, he's lying. And that's difficult to be objective when someone is doing things like that.
Well, I mean, there's nothing subjective about saying that is incorrect. Right? I mean, there are... Everybody's going to have an opinion. That part you can't. But you can force yourself. It takes work to be objective. It takes work to pull back. All right, this is how I feel about this. But what is underneath, right? So example, I give myself as an example covering baseball, covering the Cardinals. I might have a feeling about something that's happening. I might be like, yeah, they're going to be really good this year, or they're not going to be really good this year. But what I present is always going to be, what can I back up? What makes sense? I'm not just here to tell you my feelings on whether or not the team is good. I'm taking the fan out of me when I'm looking at the team, whatever team it is. And then I'm going with what can be objectively measured. Who are the players? What are their track records? What do we know about that? I don't think you have to be objective in your viewpoint, but you can be with some work, objective in the way you reach conclusions.
Fair.
Yeah, that is fair. I just think that there is, you know, and again, not to make it all about Trump, but he is someone who elicits strong emotions. That's why he's had so much success in his life. So you either love him or you look at what he's doing and you have a negative emotional reaction. There are people who I watch on television who are able to put that negative emotional reaction aside. There are plenty who are unable to and who speak from that place. And it is very blatant. I watch a lot of CNN. I put it on The Office a lot. I just turned to Dave yesterday and I said, I just wish they could be more objective about these sort of, they were talking about Matt Gaetz, but the way they were speaking about Matt Gaetz, it was not an objective
way.
It was
emotional.
Like, yeah, it was like, look at this idiot, Matt Gaetz. That's fine to have that opinion, but when it leaks over into your news coverage, that's when we get into murky situation.
But the problem is they're not trying to be objective. It doesn't get them viewers if they're objective.
And I doubt their bosses are like, hey, you really kind of let your feelings show on that last segment.
That's what they want. It's the incentive is to play to the feelings of the viewers that you want to get, whether you're MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, whatever. They're not trying to be objective. None of them are. And I don't know how many are, right? I mean, maybe like Scripps News Service that pops on the TV behind. But that's part of it is that there is, you get a little bit more of it, I think, on like the big, you know, broadcast network evening news. You're not going to hear a lot of emotion from them.
Yeah.
They're going to be telling you the story, tossing to a reporter who's got more details and moving on. That's a different thing. But on the news networks, what they're selling is that subjectivity.
Donald Trump will be gone one of these days.
Yeah.
He's not immortal, and he did not invent identity politics. We've been doing this for a very long time, but it's worse now than it's ever been. And that is one of my biggest problems with where we are now. That, let's say, instead of Donald Trump, it was Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney is the nominee, and he's running against Joe Biden. At that point, to me, although you still have some things about Joe Biden's age, it's not about personalities because neither of them have one. It's about policy.
Right.
It's about what is a President Mitt Romney going to do about taxes? What's he going to do about foreign policy? Is he going to be strong? Is he going to be weak? What's he going to do about the border? Is he going to go back to the Trump era? Is he going to do something even more forward thinking? Is Joe Biden going to you see what I'm saying? I miss policy because policy's important. When we have the think tank, one of the first things I'm going to talk to David and Megan about is, and this is legit, I have no idea what the MAGA agenda is. I understand that they love Donald Trump and anything he says is gospel, almost literally gospel, but I don't know what their agenda is. I don't know what policies they're pushing for. I'm so tired of talking about politics without policy.
And that would be objectivity, though, right? Because you want to know what the details are, as opposed to what the emotional.
That matter. I don't care. I don't care who you hate. Other than I don't want you to do something bad to them. But I don't care who you hate. I don't care who you have racism against. I don't care who you don't think belong in this country. Go back to wherever you came from, XYZ. That sort of stuff is important to know that people know that to judge them as a person. But it gets the country nowhere. What gets the country places is GDP and national security and the overall happiness of the citizens, which all three seem to be at very low levels right now. And I can't help but think that a primary cause of that, if not a proximate and majority cause of that, is that we are wasting so much time with personality stuff. It would be it's just a macrocosm as if we were doing like a Big Brother kind of show and us and Chris and Amy are all living in the same condo and we have these things we have to accomplish. But all the producers are doing is poking us so that I'm mad at Rachel and Rachel's going behind my back and tubing me to Andrew and he's going to. All of that would be useless and we would lose the game if what we're trying to do is not entertain. We're trying to accomplish a goal. Well, we're running the federal government as if what we're trying to do is put on a personality-based television show. But we're not. We're trying to run a country, but what we're doing, what we're focusing on is exactly the opposite. Rachel, let's talk to Mike on line one. Mike, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Dave. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, the question is, what is objectivity? You know, I think you guys generally do a pretty good job of it. You know, I think it's a general litmus test in daily conversation is when some piece of news comes up, and if someone does not say, oh, but, and that's followed up with but the Democrats or but the Republicans, if you can just look at that singular thing and replace it with whoever it is, whether it's Donald Trump or your grandma, and say it's a bad thing or a good thing, that's being objective. And yeah, not everyone can be perfectly objective, but there's a lot to be said for trying, you know?
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do you have something else to say?
Well, I think part of the problem with what you're talking about is the general population doesn't want policy. They want emotion.
Policy's hard.
No, I know.
You have to
it's
think
boring.
About it.
Look, it's boring.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to read that stuff. I don't want to read that stuff, but I care more about that stuff than I care about anything you could tease my emotions with. You're just not going to get me. But what we've seen very clearly is emotion is what moves, whether that emotion is anger or fear. And those are the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big motivators. Why do you think you hear what you hear? Because they know, and by they, I mean anybody that's running for office, anybody that has studied human behavior, two of our strongest responses to anything are fear and anger. So when you push those buttons, that's where you get people motivated to come and vote for you. And we can't expect them being the politicians, to stop doing it until we stop reacting to it.
Right. We want a culture warrior. That's what most people want.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to get until everyone just smartens up, which it's like, is that going to happen? I truly don't know.
Yeah.
TBD, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Gen Z is so uncomfortable with face-to-face meetings. They prefer their first 2 to 3 dates to be on Zoom.
I saw this, and I also saw part of it is dates are too expensive nowadays, too, so you just meet virtually and you don't have to pay the money for the first date.
Man, life is less fun than it used to be.
It seems strange to me, but obviously it's because not my time. But I can see how there's something to that. Getting to know someone at least a little bit before you meet for the first time.
Well, especially they're probably meeting on a dating app.
Well, that's what I mean, right? Because like for me, like my wife and I started dating because we were in the same friend group and we were always around each other. So it wasn't like the awkwardness of get to know you, that kind of thing. It's like, yeah. I can see why that would be a challenge, especially if you're meeting online.
13% of dog owners drive with their dogs on their lap, even large dogs.
Oh,
I'm against it.
Yeah, don't do that with the large dogs. You shouldn't do it with any of them, but don't do it with the large dogs.
I think it's cute.
Of course you do. I saw someone driving down Hampton the other day with their dog in the bed of their truck, and I thought,
oh, don't do that either.
Well, I mean, it just felt like a busy thoroughfare for, I don't know, I grew up in Grafton, so people did that all the time. Like, I would ride in the bed of the truck. It wasn't a big deal. But it was also like, we were in the country.
Yeah.
But this was the city of St. Louis. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
What percentage of people do you think have been within 10 feet of a cow?
15%.
It's
got to be, I would say 50.
30.
90.
Wow. 90. I was way off.
Yeah, there are a lot of petting zoos.
Do burgers count?
That's mean. That ain't right.
That it would be 100%.
It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Oh,
nice.
Is there anyone that doesn't like that?
Freaks.
I mean, I don't really. I don't like. I prefer just like a regular peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, you would.
My dumb little brother used to just get a jelly sandwich. Was like, that's not even a sandwich.
Yeah, there's no protein in that.
Yeah,
it's just sugar bread.
Can you tell me the first United States president to wear pants?
George Washington.
Nope.
Lincoln.
Nope.
George didn't wear pants?
Nope. He wore pantaloons.
John Quincy Adams.
Oh, I mean like real pants.
It says John Adams.
Oh,
so I'm not sure
so
which one that
president.
Is. So, yeah.
Or, no. Yeah, he was the second president.
What's the technical difference between pants and pantaloons?
Ronald
the pantaloons there. Bunch up around like your calves, I believe.
Okay, so they're like baseball pants.
Yeah. Pantaloons are what I wear. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So let's go backwards in time and talk about what happened last night, how bad it got.
It, you know, the most widespread of severe weather was fairly late night after, you know, 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. There were a couple of supercells that developed about 6 o'clock in the evening. That was the one of those cells produced a quick touchdown, an EF0 tornado from about Chesterfield, tracked to the east, a little bit to the northeast, did not make it to 141. It appears it was on the ground, or at least hops, you know, hop and jumping for about 3 minutes, and then it pulled up. So it wasn't a big deal, but it doesn't have to be a big deal to when it caused some damage.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where it wasn't a major tornado, but if it hit your house, it's a major tornado.
Yeah. How was the rainfall? Did we catch up last night?
Well, it just depends on where you were. If some of the rainfall was 5-6 inches of rain in a very short period of time. Wow. Other folks, you know, maybe a half inch. You know, it was just, if you got under some of these slow-moving thunderstorms, that's why there was flash flooding. Mm-hmm. It just pretty brutal.
So I know this is getting into long-term forecast, but the whole April showers bring May flowers, are you expecting that in the general way?
I do anticipate that April will be a greater severe weather month than the month of May. So I guess we could go down that route. Most of the time in April and in May, it's thunderstorms. It's not all-day rains. We get out of that winter pattern. And you know, so yeah, we're going to see a little above average amount of severe weather in April, and we've jumped off in that right away.
And looking a little chillier for Thursday, right?
Yeah, it's looking a little chilly for the next several days. Normally, when you have a severe weather event, a couple of rounds of it, like we had yesterday, you know, things blow out and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Yes, it's cooler, but it's just usually gorgeous. But what's happened is the parent low pressure system has gotten stuck to our east, really over the Great Lakes over the next couple of days. It is pumping down this northwest flow, actually a little front coming through tomorrow. So it's not a very pretty day at all tomorrow. It's very windy, northwest winds, 45 mile per hour wind gust. It's chilly. There'll be wind-blown showers. It's a nasty day tomorrow. 48 for the high. There's no way it's going to feel that warm. I think if you're out and about, it's going to feel like 39, 40 degrees. Then Wednesday night, showers early, otherwise mostly cloudy. It's windy. It's cold, 35. We're still in the strong northwest flow on Thursday for opening day. A mix of clouds and sunshine, but right now the emphasis is on the clouds more than the sun. It's still windy, not going to be as windy as Wednesday. And it's a chilly day, 50 degrees, but there's no real rain, so we're going to get the game in. Thursday night down to 35, and Friday partly sunny, still below average, and 55 degrees. So chilly, chilly stretch coming up.
Okay, very good. And there's no chilly like opening day chilly. Because, you know, you're like, it's opening day, I'm wearing a t-shirt, I'm fine, what are you talking about?
No, you won't be fine.
Yeah.
No, you won't be fine. Though the place will be packed, and so you got a lot of body heat.
There you go.
Doesn't help.
Leave it to Murray.
Doesn't help.
I think it makes it worse.
Headlines Rage.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Get personalized savings delivered to you in an instant with the Schnucks Rewards app. So vaping may cause a heart failure risk. As of 2021, 4.5% of U.S. adults used e-cigarettes, but vaping is also prevalent among young people, with roughly 1 in 7 high school students using e-cigarettes. Now, a large study by MedStar Health has shown that e-cigarette users may be 19% more likely to develop heart failure compared to those who have never vaped.
I guess I don't understand vaping. But my understanding early on was that vaping was called vaping because it was just vapor water. And it was so that people had the sensation of smoking, but you're not actually smoking. And therefore, you stop doing unhealthy things. And now it seems it's as bad as smoking.
Yeah, it's full of nicotine.
Or something.
Something.
Trump's former aide is going to testify in his hush money trial. Hope Hicks is expected to testify for the prosecution. She served as his campaign press secretary before the 2016 election, which is when the hush money payments were made.
I think so. In this panorama of the Donald Trump legal cases, and everyone has been sort of crapping on this one with Stormy Daniels and saying, oh, it's the weakest one. I can't believe it's the only one that's going to go. And Bragg should have waited his time, and he shouldn't have filed it first, and XYZ. since this is a criminal matter, Donald Trump is required to be in court. They say it's going to be a 6 to 8 week trial. So think about that, that so far he's been able to be there when he wants, not be there when he wants, say what he wants to do, use it for campaign purposes. He's going to have to sit there and listen to stories about his genitalia. He's going to have this woman he allegedly had the affair with take the stand, tell in all the detail what happened. His wife is going to be hearing this stuff. He's not going to be able to leave. He's not going to be able to go into histrionics and scream and shake his head back and forth because the judge will hold him in contempt. I think that this Stormy Daniels trial is going to be terrible for him, even if he wins it, or if it comes out in some sort of way that it's a slap on the wrist and it's no big deal. I think the experience of this for him is going to be terrible.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think a lot of people, you know, they look at these indictments as not a huge deal. We haven't dealt with the practicality of it yet, like you just described. That, I mean, 6 to 8 weeks is a long time. Especially during campaign season. So
absolutely.
Speaking of campaign season, Americans aren't sure that Biden can finish another term. One in three voters thinks that he won't survive another 4-year term in the White House. This is according to a new DailyMail.com poll. 33% of respondents are not confident that he would survive a second term.
So obviously, it's not just my opinion. The polling numbers for Kamala Harris are terrible. And whether Joe Biden could replace the first African-American vice president ever is a separate question. But if he could, if he decided to, do you think that would substantially move the needle if he picked someone that more people were comfortable with?
I don't know. Like, I know you say the poll numbers are bad for Kamala, but every time we have any sort of political pundit in studio, they seem to say, like, no, voters will get behind this pair. So they must know something that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Mm-hmm. Is it Whitmer? And they were asking, like, well, what if you ran? And she just goes, no, I just support President Biden. I'm there for him and I'm there for Kamala. I mean, there's something that's come down the line with the DNC that says this is the pairing. You have to get used to it.
What do you think, Wheels?
I just don't think that anybody votes for the second in charge. Like, nobody voted for Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. They were voting for Donald Trump.
I agree in general, unless the person at the top of the ticket is likely to die.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, if we're factoring in all health conditions, is one really that much better off than the other?
What do you mean?
Physically, between Biden and Trump. Physically, not mentally.
Well, you make a good point, Wheels, and this survey is just seeming to go off of pure vibes. I mean, there's nothing that's come out that says, like, and he's on his deathbed. It's just what people feel. They just look at him and they think he's old and they think he won't survive. But there's nothing that they can really, there's nothing concrete that you can point at and say, and here's why I feel like he wouldn't survive.
So I'm having a hard time. I have a hard time with all of these polls and all the questions they ask, because I don't know exactly what the number is, but there are people that are voting for Donald Trump, period, the end, and they are not changing their minds. And there are people that are voting for whoever the Democrat is, period, the end, and they are not changing their mind. It's Joe Biden. They're going to vote for Joe Biden. And if we're only talking about the people that are not on one of those teams, is that who we're talking to? Because they're the only ones that are going to be influenced in any way, shape, or form. And are they going to be influenced more by his age on the Biden side or the court cases on the Trump side? And that's the group. That's the only group that matters. And they only matter in about 3 states.
I've said this before, but I think phantom voting is going to carry the day. That, for example,
people that say one thing and do another.
Someone like me who is openly does not like Donald Trump. But my lifestyle and my income and things like that would make me a Republican. So I could Trump sucks and screw this guy and he's terrible. He's the worst American of all time. Then I could go in there. I could vote for him. And vice versa. And the opposite. And with Biden or someone who says I'm all in for Biden and they don't vote for him. I think there's going to be a lot of that going on.
Yeah, so do I. I think there's going to be a lot of last minute decisions. Yep. It's whether you go to the election place and flick the button or you mail it in. I think it's going to be, you know, so I'll be sitting at my desk going, I don't know.
Yes, yeah, so, I agree, Dave.
My position on all of this stuff has nothing to do with either of these two candidates. It's just that, like, I'm not sure that I think the way that we do polling tells us enough. Because, again, the president is going to be decided by swing voters in the swing states. That's how it's going to be decided. So what does it matter what the nation thinks? You can ask Californians all they want. California's going to go for Joe Biden.
Practically, you're right.
You can ask Texans all you want. Texas is going to go for Donald Trump.
But it's like the Super Bowl pregame show.
I know.
We gotta talk about it.
That's what drives me crazy.
We need something to chew on.
If you're just telling me these are the five states that are in play and these are the swing voters in that state, I'm going to listen to that poll because it's very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More bad news for Tesla. Their Q1 sales were down 9%, well below their expectations, and the stock has shaved off 34% of its value this year. Lots going on.
Is that not good?
A lot going on.
Yeah.
It seems not great.
It seems not great. And Vegas's Tropicana is closing after 67 years. It's Las Vegas Strip's third oldest casino, and it's closing today. Demolition on the hotel is slated for October to make room for a $1.5 billion Major League Baseball stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And that's expected to open in 2028.
It's cool looking, too.
How do you feel about that?
Great architecture.
Just in general, I don't like moving teams from one place to another, and I especially don't like it when it's a billionaire owner who is holding a city hostage and saying, if you don't give me your money to build my stadium, I will move. I think that's it's a form of extortion. You're saying, give me your money or else.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
We have a think tank coming up after the top of the hour. Wheels got a short stairway to Kevin.
Yeah, let's do this. I saw the Forbes list came out of the richest celebrities in the world. So there are 14 celebrity billionaires. So people in the entertainment industry that are billionaires. Any guesses at the top couple?
Beyonce?
She's on the list, but she is not in the top couple.
I'm going to say Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is at number 14.
Ryan Reynolds?
No. Beyonce, by the way, not on the list. I was wrong. Rihanna is on the list at 9. I mixed those up.
So Beyonce's not a billionaire?
No.
Huh. But Jay-Z is, though,
Jay-Z
right?
is. He's number 5 at 2.5 billion. Oprah's on there. She's number 4. The ones that are the tops, they'll make sense when you say it, but you don't necessarily think of it because they're not necessarily on the screen. But George Lucas and Steven Spielberg are the top 2 billionaires from the entertainment industry. Number 3 is Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is up there. More ahead of Tiger Woods. Tiger's on the list. He is number 10. LeBron James is number 11. Magic Johnson, number 12. But keep in mind, you listen to all those names. How old is Taylor Swift compared to all these people?
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jordan's 62. Tiger Woods is almost 50. He's 48 years old. She's going to be way up on this list at some point. She's already over a billion.
I don't wish Michael Jordan ill. You know, I wish he'd get sick or something like that. I just can't stand him.
He
seems to be as bad of a person as he is as good of an athlete. I was just watching somebody on TikTok. I understand that when you're that famous and people are always constantly in your face and up your butt, and I want to, can you sign this for my kid? Can you this? But they showed this montage of him, very purposefully walking past children and just giving them the stinky eyeball, and he couldn't have cared less. And it's you know what?
I don't know if I'm going to go far enough to call him a bad human being. Although he's had plenty of those types of,
a jerk.
Yeah, he is. He's an arrogant jerk. Yeah. And he always has been. I mean, that's everybody. I was in Chicago during that run. We moved there after college, worked there in the media. Everybody knew it. I mean, he's not a good guy.
Well, at least he has billions
of
dollars.
But he is worth $3.2 billion.
He's one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah. Well, he's made that money off the shoes.
Learn that lesson, kids. Yep.